Yeah, you mentioned you had you have a difficult year behind you.
Yes, a lot. This year has been really tough. Maybe the last couple of years have been really tough, but this one especially is a year when I experienced like a major collapse in several things, and this has triggered an emotional crisis for me. And I've been experiencing what is known in spirituality as the dark night of the soul, or something like that. It's been really tough. So I don't know, where do you want to start? Do you have like a set of questions, or should I just tell my story or something like that?
Yeah, if you like, just please. I'm curious to hear your story.
Okay. Well, I'm from Colombia. I'm 43 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm divorced. I have a son. He's the one that appears in the image.
Yeah.
He's an 8-year old. I got divorced in 2023. Maybe about 2.5 years ago, in February of 2023, February, yeah. But okay, well, as you may imagine, the divorce was the actual or the official like breaking up of a lot of things that were already rocking, you know? I mean, the divorce and the decision of getting divorced is just the idea of, or the acknowledging that everything is needs to be changed, you know. And it was a rather painful experience for me. Not so much because of the marriage itself, because deep in my heart, I knew that everything was supposed to be over. And it was several years that I hadn't been feeling happy in this marriage, you know? But I haven't been feeling happy in my life, because there were a lot of things that I just didn't like. What caused me this pain was not the separation itself, but the fear of facing something new, and especially the fear of losing my son, or maybe damaging my relationship with him, or even more, damaging him permanently, because, you know, children tend to suffer when their parents get divorced. So he was a little baby, 6-year-old baby, because he's kind of we have tried to keep him as childish as possible, you know? He's not such a mature kid, because we have tried to preserve his fantasy world. So it was kind of tough on him. But, you know, the first thing that I learned in that year that I got divorced is that those fears were false. They were fake. They were based on fake basis, because not only I didn't lose my son, not only the relationship with him didn't get cold or get distance, but it actually strengthened my relationship with my son. Because, and I know that in great part is I do have a merit in this, because I decided to rearrange my whole life. I mean, I remember that when I was picturing the my life as a divorced man, I really liked getting back to being like a single guy after 11 years of being married, you know? I liked the independence. I liked the idea of enjoying things in life that you cannot enjoy when you're married. And I also wanted to be free of some toxic and really, damaging dynamics between me and her. And I really wanted to be free from that. But my only challenge here was to how the little guy fits in the equations, because I love him so much.
Yeah.
And because he's so important for me. So I realized that it's just a matter of will, you know? It's just a matter of wanting to do it and wanting to make it work. And that's the basic premise, you know?
Yeah.
That's the basic premise. So I rearranged my life for making him fit into the equation of my new life.
Mm.
So I learned something really big, which is acting accordingly to your priorities. Because all the time we are being told that you must have priorities in life, all right? Mm. And people tend to do like a list of priorities. If I ask you your priorities, you say, okay, my priorities are my family, the persons that I love, my work, being able to serve people through my podcast, or, I don't know. Everybody has a list of priorities.
Yeah.
But we tend to keep to write that list, and we tend to stick it in a wall, or maybe put it in an envelope and leaving them somewhere, you know?
Mm.
And then we go to everyday life, and everyday life starts dragging us into dynamics where we don't tend to act accordingly to what we said are our priorities, you know?
Mm.
So the deal with priorities, I learned this with my marriage, because I know that, I mean, I've never tried to picture myself or put myself as a victim in the marriage history, because I have always refused to be a victim in general. I mean, I know that I made mistakes. She made also mistakes, all right? But one of my biggest mistakes in my marriage was actually this, was because I remember that I said, okay, my marriage and my family and my wife are my priorities, but then I got dragged into a million other things that made me forget about those priorities.
Mm.
What I learned with my son was this. Okay, you make like a fixed point in your life, which is, in my case, it is my son. Okay, it is being able to provide for him, taking care of him and playing my role as a father. I'm kind of uncomfortable with the authority figure, the role of authority guy, but the guy that runs the show in here, but I know that it's important for him to have that. And this is the everlasting point in my life, you know? It's what never changes. My son is my main priority. Being able, also my role as a dad is my main, as a father, is my main priority. So this makes me, in everyday life, this leads me to make decisions, everyday decisions, fit into that priority.
Mm.
And it's not easy. It's not easy, but it's worth it, because, I don't know, I not only I didn't get away from him, not only I didn't lose him, but I actually, our relationship got stronger, and I feel so compenetrated with him.
Mm.
And I feel so close to him, and he's my teacher, he's my biggest mentor, you know, because he has like an inherent wisdom So that's me, okay? I'm a, if you tell me what I am right now, I am a father. I know that I am supposed to have a personal life, you know? I know that I'm supposed to have a life where I experience other things that are outside of my father role, my fatherly role. And I try to do it, but I intend to do it out of a place of joy, out of a place of fulfillment, and not only bring into my life, into my everyday life, routines and people and jobs and relationships, just to avoid being alone, or just out of fear of being alone, or out of fear of being of feeling empty, because I don't know. I just don't want to be in social situations where everybody is like partying and drinking and living la vida loca, because I did that 20 years ago, you know, and I truly enjoyed it. I know that you can enjoy that, and I truly embrace that experience and drank all the juice that comes out of those tits, you know. But and I just don't want to do it anymore. I want my time away from my son when I leave him with his mom, because we kind of have like a shared custody deal, you know. Mm-hmm. And in this shared custody, I spend a lot of time with the boy. I mean, I see him virtually every day because I take him to school and I bring him back, and I usually take him to his non-school or non-academic activities, like his swimming lessons or something like that. And besides of that space, I'm sorry, he spends time with me in my place, in my apartment. Mm-hmm. So when I'm not with him, I still struggle finding what to do, you know? But it is because I just don't want to do anything. I just don't want to do the first thing that comes to me. I want to be really picky, and I'm at a point in my life when I'm picky with my relationships, with the activities that I do outdoors, because I want them to have a meaning, you know, and I want to grow with these experiences. And it could just be just like, I don't know, yeah, hanging out with a group of people. But okay, what experiences are you offering me? What are these people offering? You know, and I do feel it. There were times when this really hit me. But for example, when I spent the first weekends that I spent alone with my child, when I left him with his mom and got back to my apartment, I used to feel really lonely and really bored. You know, okay, what am I gonna do? This place is so boring, you know. Without him, because I love the noise he does, and I love the way he messes up with things in here, and I love his little mess. So it was tough, and that made me realize that I do need to have a personal life. But I'm still building that. I've gone out with a few people. I've had relationships, maybe girlfriends, which is after when you're 43 years old, it's kind of odd and weird to call yourself or to refer yourself as someone's boyfriend, you know. But okay, I have done that. I have done the dating game, but I haven't felt like compelled to do something bigger with those people. And I did have something I mean, the main struggle this year, the subject of your podcast is struggles in 2025. When I got divorced, I started a project, a personal project. It was like a business project, but it was much more than a business because it was based on my vocation, what I feel, what I love to do, which is serving people, which is helping people. And along with two friends of mine, they are a married couple, we created a project which is based on guided meditation and spirituality. I've been working on this for several years. I've been like a holistic healer and therapist and meditation instructor, spiritual advisor for people for nearly 12 years now. I've been doing this for a long time, and I've had several experiences. I've taught people how to meditate, how to get in touch with their energy and with their spirit, and to learn what their soul has to say to them. So these people invited me to a cute project that I fell in love with. It was a method like people spent 3 months with us, you know, and we recorded and created 5 or 7 or even 12 guided meditations for them, and I was in the creative field, so I was in charge of writing this stuff for these people and making personalized reports for them. And we joined them every day to guide them and to score them and to hold them while they were doing these meditations, because they were really deep on a spiritual level, and they needed our coaching and our support when doing this. And it was fabulous. I mean, we started with a beta group of people, which was a group of former clients and friends of us mostly. And this group, and the results were amazing. And then we started growing and growing and growing, just mouth to mouth. You know, mm-hmm. It was growing like that. Because as we grew up with the people and we received more and more people, we also got in charge of polishing the message, you know, and creating a much more structured content. And I was in charge of creating this content. So it was great. It was amazing. Professionally, is like the most amazing experience of my life, and it came to me in a point of my life where I was looking for something great and passionate to do, so something that brought me really made me feel really passionate, because I just got divorced, you know. It was in 2023 also when we started this project. And I said, okay, I'm in. I'm totally in. And we did it. But then maybe starting in November 2024, the relationship with these people started to get really tense, because there were a few things that I didn't like about them and about the way that I was being treated and the way that they were talking to me, and I felt like they weren't being truthful to me, because we started to receive offers from people who were interested, in launching us, on launching our content, our product internationally, sort of like a Mind Valley thing or something like that. Originally in Spanish, there was a person who offered to put all her platform on, and all she knew to bring us into 20 Spanish-speaking countries, from Spain to Argentina and United States and Mexico and South America.
Mm-hmm.
And then possibly in English and other languages, you know, like to license this content. So it was going to be really huge. But when this happened, when this growing started to appear, I started to feel that they became really tense with me, and they became kind of aggressive with me. And I felt that they wanted to kick me out, you know, and that the plans of registering this content officially, like copyright, international copyright and something like that, they didn't want to do it. They just didn't want to do it with me.
Hmm.
So I started to feel like they were doing stuff to make me feel tired, and the way they treated me, I don't know. I just didn't feel comfortable, and I have become a very intuitive person. I was extremely rational in the past, but my spiritual path has shown me that I'm not supposed to be so rational. I'm supposed to be more like intuitive, because every time I pay attention to my intuition, I usually get it right. And when I tend to ignore the times that I've struggled more in my life, and the more painful experiences in my life happen after I ignored my intuition.
Mm.
Because it's really strong. I make a comparison. I mean, here in Colombia, I was raised in a kind of semi-rural area, which is called Santander. And the peasants in this area, they grow tobacco and fruit and tangerine and coffee and everything else. But these farms are so far away and the roads are so crappy that you can only access to those places on a mule. Have you seen a mule, which is a mixture between mm-hmm. a horse and a donkey?
Yeah.
All right. They use the mules. And they, when they are taking their fruit and their tobacco and everything, they sell out or bringing something into the farm, they always use the mules to go to those roads. It's dirt roads. It's roads in the middle of the jungle and something like that. So I asked them once when I met these places, because I didn't work in there, and I told them, okay, why do you use the mules? Because I mean, there's the possibility to use a horse, or even, I don't know, like a 4x4, a Wrangler, Jeep, or something like that, you know. And they said to me, no, we prefer the mule because the mule protects us. And I said, why? Okay, the mule is kind of a stubborn animal. They are very noble, they are lovely, they are adorable, but when they decide to stop in the middle of the road, there's no human power that moves them, that makes them move forward. They are stubborn. They don't move. They just don't move. They paralyze. They freeze in there, you know? And those peasants know that when this happens, it is because there is a danger, hazard in the way. I mean, they walk 20 steps forward and maybe, I don't know, there's a snake, there's a scorpion, there's a big rock that is about to fall in. I mean, there's danger. And mules have this extrasensory experience and capability because they use their intuition the same way. I mean, their intuition is embedded into their instinct. And I checked this, and I was able to compare this when I was learning spiritual stuff about, for example, a human race that lived in this planet millions of years ago called the Lemurians. And the Lemurians, they had their third eye, it was physical. It was a physical organ.
Mm.
And they used their intuition the same way these animals still use their intuition as a part of their instinct. It was incorporated into their regular behavior. So it wasn't like a modern human being, like you and me. We have to connect to our intuition because we have been raised and socialized in a place that, in a society and in a system that prevents us from using our intuition. I mean, we live in a counterintuitive society. I call this this way in an article I wrote sometime. So I have had to fight and to struggle to make my intuition worthy of being heard by myself, not by the others, by myself, to trust my intuition. So this is what happened with these people. I mean, I knew that they were being, that I just couldn't trust them anymore. So with great grief and pain, I had to end this project and I had to withdraw myself from this place.
Mm.
It happened. It was a gradual thing. I mean, I'm summarizing the whole thing. It was a gradual thing. It started happening in November 2024. And the final decision of getting out of there happened maybe in March 2025. And it was extremely painful. It's one of the most painful breakups of my life. I mean, it was even more painful than my divorcement. I've cried more, and I have felt more desperate, more despaired during this period, this breakup, this grief period of dreaming, having a great dream of coming up with an instrument that can help a lot of people and being a part of this. And the thing that I love the most about this project is that I felt that all my talent and my work, I was being used as an instrument of God. And that everything that I know how to do, everything that I am, was set in the service of something greater than me. And I loved it. I loved it. I absolutely loved the experience. It was hard work, but it never felt like work for me. You know what I mean? You had to get up early and... Yeah, there were long meetings where I ended up mentally fatigued and tired, but it was a fatigue that it was easy to overcome from, you know? You're just, okay, it's a hard day's work, but yeah, you just go to sleep, take a rest, and the next day, all right, what's next, you know? You don't feel drained, like when you tend to feel drained from a job where you're not happy with, you know?
Mm.
So yeah, this breakup and this showed me a lot of things because the main lesson is that I trusted these people and I trusted the invitation these people made me, because I just didn't want to do. I didn't feel capable, because there's the excuse of being just recently divorced and I was like emotionally paralyzed, and I wasn't capable of dealing with the whole project, you know? So I allowed them to take charge of the administrative and of the business part of the project, you know, and the marketing and the budgeting and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I was just happy to stick it with the creative part and with the accompanying and the connecting with people directly. And I left the other part to them because I didn't feel capable. I just didn't want to do it. And I paid the consequences of that. So I don't know if I'm ever going to come out again with something like this project or similar. I don't know. I mean, there's a content that is mine that I know that I created it, but unfortunately I didn't license it. There wasn't nothing written contractually.
Mm-hmm.
So they can take it anytime. And I'm pretty sure they are doing it right now. They are using what I wrote, they are using what I created, which wasn't even mine. This is what's cool about it, because it wasn't even mine, because I felt that it was given to me from, you know, the guys up there. It was a present. It was a present to humanity. It wasn't even for me. But they are taking it as something that belongs to them. So I've doubted, I've hesitated between fighting legally for what is rightfully mine in terms of the law, or just letting it go and letting it happen and allowing them to do whatever they want to do, just to keep my inner peace, you know, and just because I know that eventually I will be capable of coming up with something even greater than what we did, the three of us together. But it was a really painful experience, and it triggered a lot of inner work. I have struggling financially. I mean, I do have some other sources of income, and I've been working on that. But there have been moments during these years where I felt really depressed and I'm really, really blocked out, because I felt that I made major mistakes that led me to this situation. And I tend to be really hard on myself. I demand from me a series of behaviors that I wouldn't ask anyone to behave like that, but I'm supposed to be like radically honest and radically honest in my behavior. So yeah, that's why I don't take the content and do something by myself with this content, because it was something that was created in a certain environment, and it wouldn't be honest just to recycle it and relaunch it in any other way. And I know that this is what they are going to do. Maybe they're starting to do it right now.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I mean, that's them, you know? I don't do that. I don't do that. Because the spiritual value of this is higher than any other material value. And I do respect that. But yeah, I've been struggling. And for example, spiritually, on a healing session on a group of people, I mean, I've spent my life doing weird stuff with crazy people. And I intend to keep it that way. For example, I was here in Bogota. I was in a healing experience like 2 months, maybe 3 months ago, where I tried. Well, the purpose of this experience, this group healing, was to release of the anger that I was feeling, about it, and all the resentment, all the pain. And I realized that my soul is programmed and is part of what I'm doing in this life experience on the name of Daniel is maybe to transmute years and years of resentment, years and years of anger, years and years of pain that are not only mine. I mean, somehow I can connect them to my personal experience, for example, with these people or with my ex-wife or maybe with stuff that has happened to me. But it's not only that. It's something that my soul has absorbed from generationally and from many other souls and from the universe. And I'm supposed to be like the many vortices that the universe uses for channeling this and for turning it into something creative and turning it into healing and joy and wholeness with the spirit. So that's why this is so painful, because it doesn't only relate to me. It relates to many millions of people, millions and millions of souls that have been living this experience for centuries. And I'm able to perceive it due to my intuitive nature and my empathetic nature and my intuitive nature. I just don't know how to deal with it yet.
Mm.
So that's what's been causing me so much pain. And yes, the fear, I also have been fearing not being able to have that joy, to experience that joyful experience one more time in my life. Because I was extremely happy. I did experience a tremendous amount of joy recording my little guided meditations every day, you know? I felt happy. I felt complete. And I guess I missed that. And I am capable of doing other work. I mean, I work as a freelancer in, I don't know, data entry and other stuff like that. And I've always done that as a sidekick, because I just didn't want to lay all my financial responsibilities in my spiritual work, you know? But I do fear this experience has left me some sort of crippled. And I do deal with a tremendous amount of pain every day. Because I just can't find motivation. And I know that I'm not supposed to get all that motivation from my son, because he's an independent being and I cannot make him responsible for me being happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So right now, my time with him is the only thing that brings me joy. But I know that I'm not supposed to make him responsible of this.
Mm.
I know that I'm just as a father and just there temporarily to support him and to become like a platform with platform for him to be launched into great success or something like that.
Yeah.
So I know that I do have to find other things in life. I just can't figure it out where to start.
Mm.
And that's the struggle in 2025.
Yeah.
Everyone says, I've heard a lot of people saying that, man, 2025, it has gone by so quickly. And it feels like yesterday we were in New Year. For me, it's the opposite. I felt it. New Year feels like a million years ago for me.
Mm.
Because what I've been feeling is also so intense. And I know that my soul will figure it out at some point, and I will be able to turn this pain into creation and joy. But for now, it's painful. It's really painful. And basically, that's it.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say, you know, thank you for sharing your story. I think it's really interesting because, you know, if I understand correctly, before you went through the divorce, you were kind of, a bit anxious about how your life would change and how, you know, you would change not being married anymore, your role with your son you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And then I was really happy to hear that through that struggle, you felt like you connected even more with your son. And that it also brought a lot of positives to separate. Mm-hmm. And shortly after that, you found a creative outlet and you found something you really love doing, working with meditation and mindfulness. But I think it's also good that you found out that you felt as if you couldn't trust the people you were working with. And I hope in the same way as a divorce that the struggle you're going through now will lead to something even better than the creative outlet that you had before.
Yeah, one can only hope that.
Mm.
That's the dream and that's the promise that I was made by my spiritual leader and guiders. But I do know that, I mean, right after this episode, I just didn't suspect that one more time in my life I was gonna be forced to learn through the contrast with struggle. I mean, I know that this happens for a reason, but I also know that as humans we do make choices that lead us into struggle and eventually we learn from that. But if we are completely centered in ourselves, I do believe that we can avoid the struggle part, you know, and that everything not everything is supposed to be so hard.
Mm.
But since I'm here, I better learn from it, and I better find a way to get out of this.
Mm.
But I do trust that this is the last time in my life where I learn a major lesson through struggle.
Mm.
Because struggle leaves marks in your energy. And it leaves scars. So hopefully I will be able to find this center that I was promised.
Mm.
And to be in tune with the wholeness and the infinite. And when you live like this, it's not that negative stuff won't happen. I know. Yeah, okay. Maybe I don't know. My parents will die eventually, and I will have to grieve for that. But but it won't destroy me the way it did. So there's nothing to be rebuilt. I'm setting myself for this rebuilding part to be like definite for the rest of my life. I don't know if I'm being too stubborn with it, or I don't know, but that's how I wish to happen. And I do have a lot of things to deal with because it connects with stuff from my past, from my childhood, from everything else, that I know that I have to do the work, and at the same time, I have to figure out how to not struggle anymore. So it's kind of painful, but okay, here we are.
Yeah, I know. I'm happy to hear that you know you're very close to your son, and you're so that you take such pride in the role of being a father. And as you mentioned, there are other things in life, you know, with friends and financially and creatively, professionally, which might take some time to figure out. But I'm happy to hear there's one very important aspect of your life where, you have it figured out well.
Yeah, he's a present from life. It's something that was given to me. Well, it's a task that was appointed to me. And it's also a privilege. And nothing that I do with him feels like a struggle itself. I mean, it's difficult. It's difficult because in this shared custody thing, I do have to keep negotiating with my ex-wife permanently, and we have to be like we're still a team. And it's not hard because this is a person that I would like to be really far away from, but I just can't because there's a kid involved, and there's not only that he's involved, but the agreement we did of sharing his custody demands us to keep like talking, and it can be really, it's a source of conflict if you are not mature enough, and we have experienced that too. But the task itself of spending time with my son, and the everyday task that this routine that I have of picking him, taking him to school, and bring him back, and spending time with him, it doesn't feel like an effort at all. It's very rewarding. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that's nice to hear.
So I don't know. Are we done? It's been 45 minutes.
Yeah, the time went really quick. I feel like. I do need to go in a few minutes, but again, I want to say I really appreciate you being so open with me and sharing about your life. And I think it can also be inspiring to a lot of people who might listen to this, that a struggle, like as you mentioned, does leave its scars, leave behind some permanent damage often, but can also lead to better things in the future.
Hopefully. And I do hope someone make a good use of it, because what motivated me to do this is the way you presented yourself as non-expert, non-coach, or something like that, because I don't think humanity needs that anymore. We just need each other to be truthful to each other, and that's it. So yeah, please let me know when will this be airing, and send me the link to your podcast so I can start following you, because I hadn't heard of it before.
It just got started, so I think almost no one knows it about it.
No problem. I'll be happy to be like one of the pioneers.
I really appreciate that. I'll share it with you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.